Welcome to Straight Talk with Kathy, your go-to source for health and wellness discussions from one of our country's leading motivational speakers, Kathy Robinson Pickett. And now, without further delay, here's Straight Talk with Kathy.
Welcome to Straight Talk with Kathy. I'm your host, Kathy Robinson Pickett, and I'm a woman with something to say. Today's topic is, it's tax day, but we're not going to talk about taxes. We're going to talk about essentials besides taxes and essentials that every person on the planet needs to have conversations with their family about before some tragedy strikes or an end-of-life experience happens. Now, I know that topic sounds kind of heavy, and I know some of you young folks may be saying, well, this topic's not about me, but please, please continue to listen because it's really, truly about all of us. This last couple of weeks in Florida, we've had several tragedies regarding spring break, several big car accidents where a number of students were killed and a couple of young folks falling off of balconies and dying in hotels. And that really started a conversation around my table and with some of my students about end-of-life issues. And, you know, we talk to old folks all the time about making sure you have wills and guardianships for your children, and seldom do we talk to young people about that. But unfortunately, in my lifespan of working with HIV and AIDS and working on college campuses, I've had to deal with way too much death and end-of-life stuff. And that's one thing that oftentimes, well, I'd say the vast majority of times, that when it happens, people aren't prepared. And so today we're going to talk about being prepared for that. It's always an interesting thing for me. I can be in a room full of medical providers and I will ask this question. How many of you have wills and how many of you have your guardianships taken care of for your children? And truly less than 50% of people will always raise their hand. And that's just a scary thing for me. Most of you know by now that my late husband, Steve, was killed in a car accident on April 25th of 2005. And it was a weird time in our country because Terry Schiavo was a woman who had been on life support for many, many, many years and was brain dead. And her family was fighting to keep her on life support and her husband was fighting to get her off of life support. And just before Steve's death, the plug was pulled, actually, and she passed away. And the one thing that I think the Terry Schiavo case started in our country was a talk about having living wills. This was a young woman who had a stroke and had some other major stuff and actually just was gone one day in a snap of your fingers as far as capacity in her brain and being alive and functioning. And she'd had a conversation, or at least her husband had said they'd had conversations about not wanting to live that way, but her parents had never heard her have those conversations, and nothing was in writing. And so for all these years, she hung out on life support. And the one thing that I didn't have to think about when Steve was in the car accident was what I should do. I knew that he would not want to be kept alive when he didn't have brain activity, and I knew that he wanted to be an organ donor. Those of you that may not be terribly familiar with my story but know that I have HIV may be saying, what? Her husband was an organ donor. But Steve was not HIV positive, nor did he have any other conditions that would affect him being an organ donor. And so we were able to have that done. And for some reason, that gave me such comfort as time went on to know that his eyes were given to people that could now see that couldn't see, and that his bones were used and that his skin was used for burn victims. And so that's not for everybody. Everybody listening to this have different religious views and different beliefs, and certainly not all of you want to be an organ donor. But if you do want to be an organ donor, that's a conversation you need to have with your parents, with your spouse. It's something that needs to be in writing. Lots of you think, well, I have it on my driver's license, so that just takes care of me. No, actually, it doesn't. That is not a binding kind of document, and you really need to have a living will that says that you want to be an organ donor if you truly want there to be no debate or no discussion about that. An interesting, bizarre thing that goes along with that, I think, is really weird. I had a student in my office one day who no longer wanted to be an organ donor. They had a disease, and they were concerned about being an organ donor, and they went to the Driver's License Bureau and wanted it taken off of their license, and they had to pay for a new license and to have that removed. And so that certainly sparked a lot of conversation around my office about that. That's kind of scary. But rest assured that if your organs are donated, that tests are performed to make sure that people are not positive for HIV or have any other bloodborne pathogens. But again, we're kind of crazy in our society about the way we do things. Living wills are so important. They are the directives for people left behind to know what you want. Whether you want to be kept on life support indefinitely, whether you want to be continued to be fed intravenously, whether you want to have pain relief or hydration, all those things are covered in a living will. And scenarios can be spelled out in a living will. For myself personally, I have always chosen quality of life over quantity of life, so my living will is very specific. But if I'm in a car accident and a respirator is going to get me through 24 hours and then I'm going to be fine, I want to be on that respirator. If I have an opportunistic infection and I lose consciousness and am, you know, at the doors of passing on, then I don't want that respirator. So, you know, you can spell out scenarios. You can buy living will kits very cheap at any office supply store. You can download them from the internet, or you can pick them up free from your doctor's office or from any hospital. With a living will, that has to be on file places. Your doctors have to know about it. If you are a person living with a catastrophic illness and you go to a hospital regularly, you want it on file at that hospital. You want it on file with the person who is making your medical decisions. That means if you're married, your spouse needs to have a copy of it, or if you have someone else who is your medical surrogate, they need to have a copy of it that's readily available where they can get a hold of it and have it in their hands. If you are having a living will and you're not a regular patient at a hospital and you haven't done it at that hospital and have it on file, I suggest you have it notarized. It doesn't have to be notarized, but if you want there to be no argument over what your wishes are, it's best to have any paperwork like that notarized. So living wills are easy to take care of. Regular wills. Lots of times people say, well, Kathy, I don't own anything but a car and a house. There's, you know, I got more bills than I have anything else. So why in the world do I need a will? I'm 25 years old. Everyone needs a will. You need to make sure the things that you do have are going to go to the people that you want to have them. And you also need to make sure your last wishes are carried out, and that's put in your will. If you want to be cremated, or if you want to be buried, or you want specific things done at your funeral service, that is what's listed in your will. If you have children, your guardianship wishes need to be put down. And you may say, well, if I'm killed in a car accident, you know, my husband, that's what's going to happen. Well, things aren't that simple anymore. Lots of people have been married more than once, have, you know, stepchildren, have biological children, have grandchildren that they're raising, those kinds of things. So guardianship wishes need to be put down in writing. What people don't understand is if there's two parents in a car and they're both killed in a car accident, heaven forbid, and there's family members waiting and willing to take those children, if the guardianships aren't established, those kids oftentimes in many states wind up in foster care until a judge decides who's going to raise your children. And that choice may not be the choice you would have made. And so if you don't have that in writing in advance, your children, their future is no longer left up in your hands. And none of us want to see our children put in foster care for one second if we have people that are going to raise them and take care of them. It's extremely important to take care of that. The other part of having a will is deciding, you know, small things that you may own that may be really important to you, making sure those go to the people that you wish them to go to. Along with having living wills and power of attorneys and medical power of attorneys and all those good things, I also think the one thing that people have always asked me in my life, when I've been public speaking for the last, 18 years, is, Kathy, aren't you afraid to die? And I always would say, I'm not afraid to die. But my biggest fear in life was dying before Lindsay and Garrett were old enough to remember who I was. To hedge my bets on that, I wrote letters for every single day in their life that was important. The day they went to college, they knew they better be wearing garnet and gold, and they better not wear orange and blue unless they wanted to be haunted by their mom. If you don't live in Florida, that doesn't mean a lot to you, but it's a football thing. Letters that told them what I had done in my life, that I had failed my driving test twice because I couldn't learn how to parallel park, and in ninth grade I blew a hole in my chemistry lab because I left something cooking on the Bunsen burner. All the stories that I would want them to know or that people would tell them, I wrote down for them. And now Lindsay and Garrett are 18 and 19, and of course they know who their mom and dad were and all those kinds of things. But those letters are an important thing to do for your family. If you have children, if you have loved ones, write a letter. Put it in your safety deposit box with your will, or in your burn box that you have in your bedroom that you protect your papers in. There's nothing more tangible than a written letter telling someone you love them, for them to have if that time comes. So I encourage each of you, no matter how old you are, to do that and to give that gift to your family. These aren't easy things to think about. It's tax day, and most of you are just thinking, thank gosh, that's over. And none of us want to think about them. But please, I encourage you, have these conversations. Don't leave that up to someone else to make those choices and decisions for you. If you have questions about this, if it's something I can help you with, please tweet me a question, email me a question, go to the website, send me a question. I gladly will give you what information I have and hope to get you on the right track. Any computer search will come up with the answers for most of these questions in any state that you're in. Just don't let this wait. Make sure it's something that you take care of. I'm looking forward to next week, and I hope you'll all be back to hear me and talk about the next topic at hand. I hope that you've started following me if you have a Twitter account at Straight Talk Pod on Twitter. Please, if you're listening to this show and you got a pick, I just saw it on my piece of paper. Twit pick me a picture. And we'll get that up on the website. And the website is straighttalkwithkathy.com. I hope you'll visit me there and see who I am and what I do and send me those pictures so we can get them up and know who's listening to this podcast. Thanks a lot for being here. And until next time, please remember, be the boss of your brain.